like if you're from 5 to 9, Miss Shannon's taking you to Children's Church. 5 to 9, or if you even feel like you're 5 to 9, you can go to Children's Church. They're going out the back. They'll be in the 500 building, safe and secure, right next door. So we're glad they could go. Thank you for sharing with that. You know, I hope that the parents saw that your kids do know how to do windows. I did catch that part. And vacuum. And that was good stuff. But also what I saw, they know how to share Jesus with other people. And that's what the important thing was. And so that's what's awesome. And that kind of leads into my sermon today. We're glad. I think we've had a powerful worship already. And now we're going to worship in word as we look at God's word. Revelation chapter 3. I've preached recently. It's kind of been a series, I guess, of heaven and then hell. And then the essentials of being a Christian. And we've talked a lot about what it is to be a Christian lately. And so today I want to show you what it looks like as far as a church. What's a church look like, and how does God describe a church in the Bible? What is a church to do, and what is a church to be like? And I'm not being negative at all today, but I'll be in a positive way. The church of America, it would seem, statistically, is dying. Churches are dying everywhere, and that's why we go to the Bay Area, and that's why we go to different places to help churches. Now, you're actually, if you're here this morning, you're in a church plant. We planted, when I say we, it's me and my family planted Heart Cry Church a little over 6 years ago. We said that God had told me to start a church in Queen Creek, and here we are. And we're a church plant, and a plant of a church is to reach Christ. It's a revival of the Word of God to reach people for Christ and to show people who Christ is. And that's what a church is. And so today I want to show you, if I can, kind of a portrait of a dying church. And not in a negative way, but in a rather positive way today so we can learn from that. Now, before we pray and get started, I want to throw some statistics at you that just recently, in fact, they were as of yesterday when Stacy gave them to me off of a tweet that we read from a professor from Southeastern. Statistics say that 21% of church members invite a person to church in a year. Only 21% of church members invite one other person to church in a year. Only 2% invite an unchurched person. So out of the 21% that invite someone to church, they usually go to someone that they know has been to church before and invite them. And only 2% would invite somebody that they know has never been to church. That's kind of scary. If we don't tell other people, then what happens, right? Secondly, 54% of pastors have not shared their faith in the past 6 months. Survey tells us that 54% of pastors in America today have not shared their faith in 6 months. And then on the tweet that we read, it said, what's wrong with these guys? They need to resign or repent. Amen. That's right. That's right. I think our staff, we're doing good in that area. I know that our staff reaches out a lot to reach people for Christ. Another one, over 80% of unchurched in the USA say they have never been invited to church. 80% of people that are unchurched say they have never been invited to church. Wow. Everybody should say wow. All right. Gotcha. All right. 86% of people come because someone invited them to church. 86% come because somebody invited them to church. So, all that comes from Alvin Reed from Southeastern. What is a portrait of a dying church? What's it look like? Well, Jesus tells us about it in Revelation chapter 3. Bow with me. Let's pray. Let's continue in worship as we pray. And then we'll learn a little bit this morning. Father God, be with us today. And we do love you. We thank you for the team that was able to go and share Jesus with others. And now, Lord, we come and we offer to you ourselves. And we say to you, Lord, teach us how to invite, how to reach, how to not become a church that's dying. Father, we do love you. Stir us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Revelation chapter 3. It's the last book in your Bible. It's near the end of your Bible, Old or New Testament. It's in the New Testament, and it's in the very back. Turn with me and read along. It's probably on the screen behind me as well. But I want to read 6 verses this morning to you out of Revelation chapter 3. And this is Jesus in red letters speaking to us. And he says, to the angel of the church of Sardis, write these words. In the words of him who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Verse 2, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Verse 3, remember. Underline that in your Bible. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you will not wake up, if you will not wake up, everybody hear that, I will come like a thief and I will not, and you will not know at what hour I will come against you. I'm going to explain that verse in a moment. Verse 4, yet you have still a few names in Sardis. Write down in your Bible the word remnant if you have time or the place. Remnant. People who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Go with me this morning as we look at this, and I want to talk to you today about what's going on in the life of churches and what the portrait of a dying church looks like. Number one, a dying church has a reputation that does not match its reality. A dying church has a reputation that does not match its reality. I want to read to you this morning Isaiah 29:11-13. You can write it down or maybe even go there with me if you would like. But I'm going to read Isaiah 29:11-13. And the Bible says through the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, and the vision of all this has become to you like the words of a book that is sealed. And when men give it to one who can read, saying, read this, he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And when they give the book to one who cannot read, saying, read this, he says, I cannot read. And the Lord says this, verse 13, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by man. The Bible tells us that a lot of us go through the motions of fearing God, but deep down we don't. Now I want to tell you a quick little story, and for some of you that are squeamish, hang on. I hope it doesn't offend you too much, but I don't think it will, and I'll go through it real fast. So if you're squeamish, get ready. But a few weeks ago, me and my family were in Tennessee. And while we were in Tennessee, there's not a lot to do in Tennessee except eat barbecue. And that kind of gets boring because you get full real fast. And so we're sitting out on the back porch, and there's a big pond outside of Lisa's mom and dad's patio. And the big thing there is there's so much land there, you don't see other people. So it's fun for a guy like me because her dad says if you see anything wild around the pond, like a snake or a turtle or a coyote or a bobcat, shoot it. Get it. Kill it. And I'm like, oh, that gives me something to do besides eat barbecue. And so I sit there and I pray, oh, something come out of that water, you know, that I can go shoot. Well, we're sitting there and boy, I look out and I'm thinking, I can't believe my eyes. Here comes a water moccasin. Anybody know what a water moccasin is? Well, I don't. I know what rattlesnakes are. You know, I guess water moccasins are pretty bad. Well, I look at her dad and I say, hey, what's that thing sticking out of the water swimming? He said, water moccasin, get him. So, man, he's got guns in the house, and I ran in, and he's got a pistol that's got a birdshot in it. So you shoot it, and it goes whoosh, everywhere. It's kind of cool. And so I grab this thing, and I run out, and it's about, oh, from here to the back row, and, you know, with a pistol, and I go boom, and it kind of turned and looked right at me, and it came up out of the water, and I thought, oh, yeah? Boom again. And the kids are all kind of running and screaming and jumping, and it gets about right there, and I said, uh-oh, boom. And when I shot at that time, here's the squeamish part, it lost its head. But it kept coming. And I'm right at the bank going, now, wait a minute. You know, I'm like Clint Eastwood counting my shots. How many, you know, do I feel lucky? And it's dead and doesn't know it. And it comes right up on the shore, and now I'm doing the two-shoe dance. You know, and I'm afraid to shoot, blow my own foot off. The theme behind the story is this. You know, it's funny when a snake's dead and doesn't know it, but it's very, very scary when a person or a church is dead and they don't know it. We can't laugh about that, can we? So I want to look today and kind of break that down for us, and let's get an understanding of what it looks like to be dead and not know it. So a church that has a reputation that doesn't match its reality, that's a scary place to be. See, we must understand that as a convention, when I say that, we're Southern Baptists, that's our belief. And not really our beliefs, but it's what we give to. It's what motivates us. Southern Baptist means that we believe the inerrancy of the Scriptures. We believe the Bible. We believe if it says genuine leather, it's genuine leather. All right? We believe it all. We believe it's true and that God gives it to us to inspire us. But see, as a Southern Baptist Convention, and I'm on the board of the NAM, North American Mission Board, I realized that our churches are dying. In 1970, which I was alive then, and many of you are not, and some of you were, we baptized twice as many people in 1970 as we did last year in 2009. Well, the bad news to that is that we have over the numbers, hopefully I'm really, really close, we have somewhere around 27,000 more churches. So we should be baptizing many more, but we're not. See, many denominations today are dying, not just us. Many are. In fact, it's very scary. But if we look a little deeper, what about us as Christians? Do we fear God because we know God and know His words? Or do we fear God because we've been taught by man just to fear God, like Isaiah said? Portrait of a dying church. A dying church is a church that doesn't match its reputation. At Heartcry, we have vision. The Bible says in Proverbs, and all through, but I want to give you one great scripture, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, my people perish. In other words, if we don't look forward to what God's going to do in our lives, we perish. So could it be that a portrait of a dying church is that we have no vision anymore in the America or in the Baptist or in the people that are in the pews? Do we have no vision of what God can do? Do you guys not know that God can do great things through you? Have we forgotten who God is in our lives? Like Jed did such a great job in our worship. You know, God, you alone, the universe was created for you. Kind of jokingly, I was thinking inside my head after service, I was going to go to my daughter Paige and say, see, Paige, the universe wasn't centered around you. It was around Christ. That was very jokingly. All right. I did. I thought that, so I thought I'd share it. I love you, Paige, and you know it. Hear me, people. It's not centered around us. It's around Christ. Portrait of a dying church. Number two, let's go quickly. A dying church has a sleeping congregation. You know, as I thought about that and prayed about this, and as I studied and wrote this sermon, see, there are still prayers to pray. We have to wake up and not be asleep. You know, I tell this as well. You know when Cain killed Abel? You know where he ran off to? You know where he was shipped to? The land of Nod. Our churches today are full of people that are at the land of Nod. That's why every once in a while I scream and jump up and down and try to wake you up. Don't go to the land of Nod. There's still prayers to pray. There are still people to love. There's still sermons to preach. There's still Bible studies to be taught. There's still praises and choruses to sing to God like we've done already this morning. And yay, there's still tithes to give. Had to throw that in. Praise the Lord. We need to wake up. We need to quit being tired and sleepy in America today. The dying church is a church that's asleep. It's a church that forgot to rely on God's wisdom and power to do great things and vision to go get buildings. You know, Wednesday, praise the Lord, we were passed again by the city council to build our building. That is wonderful. Yeah, we need to give God a... That's right. We're doing what they said couldn't be done. They said a few years ago, you'll never build that church in Queen Creek. Well, now we can. And so immediately, because the devil seeks to destroy us, I'm thinking, yay, we can do it, but now we got to get money. And so I called the guy that has the buildings that he wants to give us these buildings at a very discounted rate, 20,000 square foot metal building with all the lights, with all the fire sprinklers, with all the electrical, with all the insulation, with all the doors and windows, ready to move into. Just give it to us. And as I called him and said, well, we got approval, I found myself in fear going, I hate to even tell this guy we got approved because now he's going to expect me to come get it and we can't. And then I got to thinking, wait, wake up, Billy. The God that created that building is within us as a church and within me. Go get it. So I called him. He said, man, I'm glad you called. I said, really? He said, yeah, we had a guy actually yesterday that one of my friends got killed on the job site trying to tear down the buildings that are in your area that we want to give you, and we want you to pray for his family. And I thought, man, I can do that. I can pray for you. Tractor ran over him and killed him. And then he said, and oh, by the way, I just filled out a thing for you. And I said, what'd you fill out for me? He said, I found out. This guy's a super research guy. I love this guy. He said, I just found out through the green program that, you know, going green, if you take an older build, a building that was already up, tear it down and reuse it again, they'll give you $250,000. Do you want it? I said, let me think about it. Yeah, I think so. I'm not that asleep. So I said, send me, oh, I already did it, Billy. I already filled it out for you. I already sent it in. We're going to get you your $250,000. I go, now, really? He goes, yeah, I already did it for you. So now I'm afraid to tell you all. So, you know, don't have fear. Wake up, Jesus says, and go get them. Tell people about Jesus Christ and invite people to come see who Jesus is. Write down for a reference, Matthew 26:40-41. Jesus tells his disciples, let's go pray. And Jesus gets up there and he prays like crazy and they fall asleep. Let's wake up at heart cry and start looking to God and asking God. Romans 13:11-14. Some of my favorite passages in the Bible, Romans. Romans 13:11 says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep. Salvation is nearer to you now than it was when we first believed. Verse 12. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and not in jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to gratify its desires. A dying church sleeps. A dying church is lethargic. And a dying church is not ready to serve the Lord. Number 3, a dying church receives a great invitation. A great invitation. Verse 3 says, remember, and I ask you to underline that. Remember. Remember when you received God. Remember that. Do you remember? Do you remember when you prayed with somebody and that individual and all of a sudden you just felt that power come upon you? Acts 1:8 says, go and that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have power. Do you remember John 1:12 where it says, as many as received him? But let's remember verse 11 of John. He came to his own and his own received him not. Therefore, it says, they who received him had the right to become called sons of God. Do you remember when God received you? And when you received God, God prompted you, John 6:44, and then you received him. Remember. Jesus tells us in the church of Sardis as well to remember when Jesus came upon you. Remember. Go back and remember what you received. Remember how on fire you were. Remember what it looked like and keep that. Do it. Practice it. Remember the cross. Remember the body. Remember the blood. Remember what it is all about. And remember, it's about forgiving. Remember that Jesus died on the cross to forgive your sin. Just remember that right now in your own mind. Christ shed his blood and died for you so that you could be forgiven from your sin. Remember that it's about changing your life. Remember, remember, remember. Today, when I talk to people, it seems like we remember stuff. We remember that, oh no, what we have to do at work, or I hope we can work, hope we can get work. Oh, I hope we can do this, and I hope we can get to the game, and I hope we can do this and that. Let's try to remember Christ and him crucified and rose again for you and for me. Remember. And don't let sin be comfortable in you. Like I like to say, may it be a rock in your shoe. May you just always be reminded and get rid of it. Quickly, number 4, a dying church faces an embarrassing visit. This is the one that scares me as your pastor. See, the Bible says if we don't wake up, Jesus is saying he will visit us, the church. Many people have this passage out of context and they believe this is the second coming of Christ. It's not. Christ will come to a church during the life of the church, like right now in your life and you individually. See, you are the church. And Christ says, I will come to you and I will visit you and it'll be an embarrassing visit. Jesus was saying that to the denomination, to the convention, to the churches, to the people, I'm coming to be with you. And you belong to me, and if you're not doing what I want you to do, it's not going to be good. Write down 1 Peter 4:17. Same reference. It says, For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be done Or what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? What this says is that before God goes to the world, He will first come to us, the church. And I think He's doing that now. Before God comes to judge the world out there, when you look out these beautiful windows, before He comes to judge them, He's going to judge the church first. So the portrait of a dying church is that God is going to come visit us. And if we're asleep and we don't remember, He's going to not do good things for us. And finally, my favorite part, here's where the hope is. Verses 4 through 6, a dying church receives, listen to me, limited accommodation. Yet you who, it says, still have a few names in Sardis. I told you to write down remnant. Remnant. God tells us there's a few of us left that still fully devoted believers in God. Still aren't just afraid of God by name because of what man has taught us, but we fear God because the Spirit within us tells us to fear and tremble God. Not in a, oh no, there's God, but in a, oh wow, there's God. That kind of fear. Awe. Oh. God tells us to fear Him. But He gives us a limited accommodation here. Check this out. I love verse 5 and 6. Those, or the one, verse 5, who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments. I'm going to pause for a minute. It's the same reference in the Greek where He says white garments here, as when Jesus says at His ascension, He was clothed in white. It's so bright that you can't bear to look at it. John tells us in the book of Revelation, this same word for white, it's just white. I mean, wow, you can't even look at it. And the Bible tells us right here, that those, the ones who conquers, will be clothed in white garments and will never be blotted out of His book of life. And then He says, and I will confess His name before my Father. As I studied this, it brought tears to my eyes. See, my whole life I've prayed in Jesus' name. And I've said, Lord, Lord, help me. And I've said, oh God, I need You to show up in my life. And I've said, Jesus, 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 how precious is the name Jesus. And then I realized that one day Jesus is going to say, Billy, He's going to confess my name and your name, if you believe. He's going to confess our names. And that struck me the other day because Jesus will call my name. And it says here, as you read on, and I will confess His name before my Father and before the angels. Jesus is going to grab you and take you and hold you. And He's going to push by the angels. And then He's going to go down the streets of gold and go by the mansions that it says in John 14. And as He holds you and He takes you through the throne of God, He's going to say, hey, Father, this one's mine. And He's going to say your name. To me, that's amazing and that's powerful. I will call your name. I will call your name. And then He will put a white robe on you and you will say, all right. No, you know what? I think we're going to say glory to God. And I think we're going to shout it out. I think Baptists are going to wake up and go, wow, this is really cool. I hope. Glory to God. And you're going to shout glory to God and say whatever I went through on earth can't compare. And whatever hard times I suffered on earth can't compare. And whatever fun I was made of by my friends can't compare. And whatever sickness I endured can't compare. And whatever temptation I faced can't compare. Nothing compares to God's glory. Glory to God. That's what's going to happen. I will confess His name. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? He who has an ear, verse 6, let him hear. God still has a remnant. Heart cry has a remnant. The Southern Baptist Convention has a remnant. We're here and they're there. They're out there and it's real. And there are some who are still alive. When I got to thinking about that statement, there's some that are still alive, I thought about this. You know, there's still some out here and here in this room even that when they say they're going to pray for you, they believe that they're going to pray and that God's going to hear it. They do. We're here. And you know, there's still some here that when they sing glory to God, They think God hears them. And they really are giving glory to God. Boy, I about broke into tune there. God is going to do great things through us because he's done great things in us. And listen to me, everybody look up here. He will use you to do great things. Are you alive? Are you alive? And if you are, you're the only hope for Queen Creek, for Santan Valley, for Arizona, USA, and the world. Let me ask you a question in closing. If you were to die today, this very day, do you know where you would spend eternity? Would you be with Jesus, passing the angels, passing the mansions, passing the streets of gold, going to the Father, and he would say, this one's mine. If you don't know that you know that you know that you would do that, I want to invite you today to come pray. Stacy will be in the back, I'll be in the front. Most serious and important question you've ever asked in your life or answered in your life. Are you alive? And if you've received Jesus Christ, you are. But if you have not, you are not alive. Today is that time and that opportunity. As Jed plays, I'll ask you to stand with me with your heads bowed. Father, I pray that today we would get the courage, the strength, the boldness to answer the call to be alive and to come to you. Father, may this day be the day you move and stir in our lives. Help us forever, Lord. But help us know that we know that Jesus is in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Will you come? Will you come?
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hand. God of mercy, I bow down in your presence at your throne. I call, you answer, and you came to my rescue. My life. rescue and die. I wanna be where you are.
So you bow your heads. I want to ask the ushers to come. Thank you for being here today. We're going to continue in our worship as we give back to God our tithes and offerings, showing God that we are awake and we do believe in Him and we are in awe of Him. So as we pray, pray that you would think about what you would give to God. I pray that you would think about what you're going to show God your obedience, but most of all, I pray that you would just fear God. Fear God for who He is. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. I pray that you continue to help us to give to fund the ministry so we can send people to help other churches reach and teach people for Christ. Lord, we pray for Santan Valley and Queen Creek that we could reach everybody in this area for Christ. As we give, bless it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being here today. If you're here and you have energy, that means if you're here and breathing, I guess. Dave Scepter's back there in the back, and we're going to need help. We have to move everything out of that closet upstairs over there. So if you'll help us, if you can just grab anything that's around and go that way, that would help us tremendously. Also, if you're here visiting, I'd love to meet with you right back here in the middle. We love you here, and thank you for being here. Can we sing one more thing of how that hymn that you said? I forgot how it goes. Yeah. Just that last verse with dismissal.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Amen.
How are you doing?
Good. My name's Barry.
Barry, I'm Billy.
You're Billy.
How'd you find us?
Followed your signs. Actually, I saw your signs when you was up at Queen Creek.
Okay.
And kept driving by there.